Hello and welcome to the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast, the first one for 2022. Thank you so much for joining us today. And my guest today is all the way from Wisconsin in the US. She's an international coach and she's a speaker to over 15 countries. I have the wonderful Karen Bird joining me today. Karen, how are you doing?
I am really well. I'm so excited about 2022. I know it gets to be, I was just telling Lawrence, gets to be easy. That's the word of the year, easy.
What made you decide that easy is going to be the word for the year for you? How did you come to that word particularly?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say about a year and a half ago, I'd been a hypnotist for a very long time. I discovered the power of meditation because I used to always get the question, what's the difference between hypnosis and meditation? And I was always like, well, hypnosis is more like you're more active in meditation as you're finding the space of nothingness. And yet when my son died a year and a half ago, I went all in on like, how am I going to get through this? And meditation became part of my way of being. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with my word during meditation because I come up with a lot of really amazing things during meditation. And last year, my word was open. And my last 2 years, so 20 and 21, like so many of us, were rough years. And for me, incredibly rough between COVID and losing my son and going through a divorce at the same time. When I approached 2022, as I was in my meditation, I was thinking strength, and there's a couple other ones that came up, and then easy popped in my mind. And I thought to myself, it gets to be easy. Like we go through stages of growth and our journey is up and down, and this year gets to be easy. So there you go.
How does having that mindset of easy change the way that you've worked from previous years?
I learned this in my leadership. I went to a transformational course, a leadership course, and we know this also as hypnotherapists, the words that come out of our mouth and, you know, the languaging, the neuro-linguistic languaging, it formulates our thoughts. It changes our thoughts. And I learned, you know, everything gets to be easy in life and it's what we make of it, right? So whether it's a relationship that gets to be easy or our business or our life, it all gets to be easy. And it's a matter of us slowing down and taking that space of, you know what? I just was coaching someone. She came to hypnosis, but for entrepreneurship. And she kept saying, it feels so hard. I don't know why it feels so hard. And I just said, can I invite you to change that up to it gets to be easy? And she's like, wow, that like changes everything. And then I got a Facebook message shortly after that. And she said, you're not going to believe this. I just reached out to someone just for the heck of it. It wasn't for a business contact. They texted me back and said they were looking for this kind of thing. And it literally was just this organic thing that came to me, like it gets to be easy. And it's so true. Like when we open the universe to what gets to happen in our lives, it gets to be easy.
It's kind of funny because for many years, I never had New Year's resolutions. I always did the opposite. I always kind of got to the end of the year and reflected and thought, what's the lesson that life has taught me this year? Mm-hmm. And I can remember one of them that I came up with was life is easy, only people complicate it. And I think that kind of feels more true to me now because I agree what we focus on is the reality that we manifest in many ways. Mm. If we want to focus on how hard it is, then we're going to have a reality that feels hard. But if we want to focus on how easy it can be, then we get a reality that focuses on that ease. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that you've been a professional hypnotherapist now for 16 years, which is, you know, you don't look like you've been capable of doing it for more than a year or two. Tell me, what is it that brought you into the world of hypnotherapy? How did you discover it in the first instance?
Don't you always love these stories? I love to find out how people found hypnosis and hypnotherapy because I don't think there's anyone in our field that hasn't had some experience with it, where they saw the miraculous changes that can be made through it, and then they want to help others, right? Mm. It's not like we wake up one day and say, I want to be a business owner and I think I'll be a hypnotist, right? Like, that just doesn't happen. And so I called it because I have a degree in psychology, mm-hmm. but I worked in marketing for many years. And then, gosh, for a good 10 years, I stayed home as an at-home mom and had a few foster girls. And that was my focus. In between that, I used hypnobirthing to birth our third son. And it was an amazing experience. And so the OB said to me, if you ever want to teach hypnobirthing, I will be one to endorse you. You can bring your brochures in. You're the talk of the hospital. It was so amazing. Everyone's talking about how great it was and how quiet you were and peaceful. And it was a natural birth. And I then became certified as a hypnobirthing practitioner. And I did that for about a year, part-time in the evenings and weekends. I could still be home with the foster girls. And then I realized the power of hypnosis, like all the rest of us did, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, I was teaching it. And I thought to myself, if you can have a baby and not move a muscle and not say a word and go through the entire process, just like you're sleeping, you can use hypnosis for anything. It's the power of our mind. Mm-hmm. And so then I became certified as a hypnotist in 2003, I guess. So many years ago, maybe even more than 16 years ago. And like a lot of us, I became certified as a hypnotist or hypnotherapist because I wanted to help people. And I thought it was fun. It wasn't about having a business. It wasn't about making money at the time. It was like, I just want to do this. And yet I had no idea how to be an entrepreneur. I knew how to market, but I knew marketing for a big business. I knew marketing for a travel company. It was a convention and visitors bureau. And there was so much to learn. And so for me, it took, and on a part-time basis, many, many years. Now, Lawrence, I remember when you popped in, you just went full bore, right? I mean, you haven't been at this very long.
I trained in 2014, 2015. So I kind of started around 2016. But I wouldn't say I went full bore. I still find that, you know, while I do have clients every week, there's still plenty of room to grow. But I also feel like I'm working at the pace that feels right for me at the moment too, the pace that allows me to be able to do all the various things that I want to do without burning out too quickly.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some people there that will say you could do more, you could do better or whatever. They're probably right. But at this stage in my life, with everything that's in it, I feel like it's the right pace. I feel like I've just hijacked your response. I'm sorry about that.
No, I asked you because interestingly, you know, I feel like I was kind of involved in just getting actually really, really involved in full-time business or, you know, a real profitable business. And I remember hearing about you and I was like, wow, that Lawrence, like he's everywhere. And I think it was just part of you putting yourself out there, right? Yeah. Like that's what it's about, is stepping into our belief in ourselves and putting ourselves out there. Mm. And it took me years to get to that space. So I was part-time business for a while. I worked with a lot of athletes because my husband was a collegiate athlete. And then we had three boys that then got into wrestling like their daddy. And then throughout this process, you know, 10 years later, our oldest son was just an elite athlete and just so good, national champion and future Olympians, and went to school, college at, you know, for free because they gave him a scholarship. And so it was part of my practice. And then I would say about 5 years ago, I was in a space of, okay, now I get to make this a profitable business and I want to do something with this. And I want to have a career out of it as opposed to, yeah, it was profitable. I was making money, but it wasn't like my passion. Mm. And so I decided to write the book, Hypnose Niche, which, I think I don't know if I have it. Of course not. Next to me. And That was supposed to be the book. Well, actually, Helen Midas, she started this journey for me. We were at the Heartland Hypnosis Conference in St. Louis, and she was there, and I was teaching on how to work with athletes because I had done it for so many years. I was the expert at it, yet I didn't profess to be the expert at it. It was just one of my clients, right? But I had written this manual about how to work with athletes because it was just easy and simple. And Helen said to me, why are you not teaching this? Like, why are you not teaching this to others? You have a system, you have a successful business, and yet you're keeping it to yourself. And, you know, sometimes it's just that little
nudge.
And I went home and I thought, why am I not? You know, why am I not? So I created the Attitude of a Champion manual and sports hypnosis program at that time. And that's when I decided to hire the book coach, because now I had this program and I was like, what now, what, right? What do I do with this? And so I did that. I wrote the book. And then I had the book and I was again in a space of now what? I hear you have a book and here I've spent all this money on this book and it's a really great book and I have a course and what do I do with it? Mm. So, you know, what I've come to believe is that every time we want to up level in our business, in our lives, we hire a coach. And you know, whether we're an athlete, and I realize that like all athletes have coaches, or an entrepreneur that wants to up level, or any other way, it's the coach is the one that's going to get us to that next level. And I don't care what level you're at. I mean, you can be at the $1 million level and you hire a coach. And I'm always like, I'll hire a coach and then my coach will be done. And then my mission is who gets to coach me next? Because I know that I have big goals and dreams. And my next step is to figure out who is it that has the resources I don't have and the experience and the knowledge that I need to get me to where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of my journey. So I hired a business coach and I knew when I hired her that I was going to get in a year. And this was obviously my declaration. I'm going to get in a year and use it 100%. Where I could probably get in 5 or 6 years. And, you know, it was that piece of like, I got to figure it out and I did everything I could. And I have to say, by the end of working with her, I was complete. And I remember her saying, you're one of my favorites because every time I told you to do something, you did it. Like every time I said, go do this, even if it was hard or it didn't feel good, you did it. And, you know, that's part of being a successful entrepreneur is it's not easy to go pound the pavement. It's not easy to get out there and put Facebook posts on. It's not easy to send emails all the time. It gets to be easy and it starts to be easy. Now I can write an email in a few minutes. Yet in the beginning, I would labor over it. Like, I don't know about you, Lawrence, but I would labor over it for like days. Like, I think I want to say this and I'm not sure what to say. And right. And so part of having a successful business is stepping into being a confident, driven, value-based entrepreneur. Right. So
you mentioned before about, you know, that shift in mindset that had you stepping out finally. What do you think shifted at that time that had you from keeping yourself small to finally allowing yourself to step out before Heartland happened?
Okay, to be vulnerable, and we all know it's hard to be vulnerable, yet I truly believe that being vulnerable is being generous, I got to a space in my life where I was doing this part-time, and my marriage was getting hard and I was in fear of what happens if things don't work out. And I don't want to go get a job. I don't want to work for someone else. I believe in hypnosis. I know it works. I have this business that I'm kind of dabbling in and I'm making money at it, but not enough money to make, you know, to sustain myself. And so I truly also believe that it's always our why. Right? What is your why? Is it is it a big why? Is it big enough? Is it that you really are that dedicated to helping others? Is it that you're in a space in your own life where you get to make this happen? I also believe, and what I've seen in my experience, is that yes, we want to help others. And I love helping my clients. Like every day that I work with clients, I walk out of there, like, I feel good. I mean, some days drained, yet it makes me very happy. I also know that the biggest why has to come from inside, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be our why. So I was so happy helping clients. Yet when I got to a space in my life where I was like, oh crap, if I don't kick it in the butt, then I'm going to be looking for a job in the future. And so I think that was my big why, is you recognize that's what pushes you. That's what drives you.
Mm-hmm. I know that you, considering that you are a performance mindset expert, I imagine that one of the biggest challenges you come up across is when you're presented with a client or a student who has a certain level of doubt about their own ability. What is it that you do with them that helps them to push through that doubt?
Ah, that's a great question. Are you speaking mostly about athletes and high performers?
I guess I'm talking about that in a very broad way. You know, I know that a lot of the people listening to this will be perhaps newer hypnotherapists or even some established hypnotherapists who still go through that period of imposter syndrome, or you know when you have the occasional client that doesn't go the way you expect them to, and it has you walking away from that session going, what did I do wrong? You know, am I doing this right? And that doubt just kind of sits there for a moment, just kind of nagging away for a moment. And, you know, I'm always curious when I talk to people about, you know, what do they do that allows them to push that doubt away, to reconnect with their values, either as, you know, the values, that why that we were talking about just then, you know, because I think that why is really the driver in so many ways that tells people you are on the right track, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But then those doubt experiences come along and it has us go, am I supposed to be doing this? You know, am I fooling myself in thinking that this is what I'm supposed to do? And I have no doubt that you perhaps come across people either doing that as professional athletes who, you know, perhaps aren't achieving the results or the outcomes that they are hoping to achieve, or students who are learning hypnotherapy who, you know, didn't get the textbook result that, you know, their teachers or lecturers or tutors kind of suggested might happen.
Oh gosh, so much there. I love it. So much there. I had to like write a few notes down so I didn't forget to address everything that you just came up with. You're so right. And we have all been there. But let me tell you what, I'm going to tell you a few secrets. But the first thing that I think is so important for everyone to know, whether they are a new or experienced hypnotist or hypnotherapist, is I learned this years ago and I was like, oh my gosh, you know more than you think you know. Mm. When I look back and when I started, I was like, I had these scripts in front of me and I would prepare for hours and hours for everything and everyone that came in. So no matter what they were, I was like, okay, Google, research, print up scripts. What am I going to do? Take myself notes, right? Like we all start there.
And isn't that a trap as well? It's such a trap because you're expecting to make your client fit your session as opposed to you coming in and discovering what's going to work for your client.
It is. So let me tell you my secret. So I did that for years and years on end. And we have to do that, right? Like we have to gather information. It doesn't matter how many classes we've taken. There's so much, right? So we have to do that. And that's okay. That's how we learn. But yet I can say that even in the beginning, I got results. So when I think about what I did with my clients, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I'm like, oh my gosh, compared to now, they're getting huge difference and in huge changes, yet they still got changes, right? So I still was able to help them. I knew more than I thought I knew, because I simply knew about hypnosis and the power of the mind. So that's one thing that I wanted to address. The second thing is let me tell you the secret. And I teach this in my Attitude of a Champion course, my business coaching course that I offer. I do this with athletes, and I started doing it with athletes because I feel it's very important for athletes to set goals. If we don't set goals, we don't reach goals. And not only athletes, but any high performer. So I started out with them in the first session and saying, we are going to take this entire hour and we are going to unpack your goals, your affirmations, what's holding you back, what you could do to make you a better athlete. What if you did this? Would you be a better athlete? And I have a whole set of questions. And we take that entire hour to A, figure out exactly what the affirmations and goals are, and then B, do a what I do is more of a conversational hypnosis with athletes where I have them tell me what their perfect game looks like so that I can then create their program for them. Now, when it comes to clients, general clients, let's say it's fear of flying or anxiety or trichotillomania or weight loss or smoking or anything, I take that same thing. I write affirmations and goals for them with asking their simple question, when we are finished working together, what would you like to be, feel, or have when we're finished? And my goal is when we're finished, complete, is for at our last session for me to take these affirmations that we've written and you've solidified them into your mind and look at them and say, did we meet this? Check. Did we meet this? Check. Did we meet this? Check. Anything that we don't meet on the last couple sessions, we work on it because we're going to make sure that we meet everything, single one of them. And they're like huge life changes. There are changes from like having severe panic attacks to I wake up calm, energized, and happy in the morning, you know? So that's like one of my tricks that I use is I used to, and I know a lot of new hypnotists and hypnotherapists do this. I had so many things swirling in my head that I wanted to get the most impact in that hour that I could. So instead of listening and instead of helping them reframe things, I would be like, let's do this and blah, 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 right? So I would pack it all into the shortest time frame that I could because I didn't know my value. I didn't want them to spend too much money. And so I was worried about what I was charging because I didn't feel my value. And I would try to pack it all in. You know, and so what I've learned is part of the change is asking them what they want, helping them get from hopeless to hopeful, writing their affirmations with them, and just listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then reframing. You know, I mean, one of my biggest, again, a biggest tip that I give is that when they say that they're worried about something or what if this happens and what if that happens, one of the biggest things I say to them is, let's think about this. When you change your what ifs to even ifs, the whole way you think about it is going to change.
I really like that.
Yeah. And I just had a client. I really like that. I had a client yesterday and he came in and he was worried about his relationship because he had an anger management problem. And I mean, we had like all kinds of stuff going on, right? So his first session, wrote the affirmations, and he's like, I'm just afraid that my anger and like, I don't feel like we're close with my girlfriend anymore and we have a child and I feel like I'm driving her away. We don't have a sexual relationship anymore. And I think she's out seeing other guys, but I'm not sure. And then he's like, I just keep thinking, what if I don't get better? And what if I don't control my temper? And what if she leaves me? And what will that do for my life? And I simply said, let's reframe that. Let's change that to even if. So even if you didn't have a relationship with your girlfriend, and even if, what would that look like for your life? And he was like, oh my gosh. And he's like writing it down. He's like, even if I don't have a relationship, even if, you know, because the bottom line is that you are strong. And that's what, you know, again, simply had to tell him is you are strong. you have it all together, you own your own carpentry business, like you have all of these pieces. And even if that didn't work out, you're going to be okay. Mm. You're going to make it, you know? So that was all that just like listening and reframing that pre-talk about what is hypnosis? What does it feel like? How can we change it up for you? That's that first session of like serious change.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. I really love that. Even if yeah. reframe that exists mm-hmm. right there, I'm going to pinch that. Thank you so much.
Please do.
It's been the nugget for me in this conversation. That's been
good.
So good. Powerful. I can really imagine using that. What is it that I know that you work with performance mindset, and you mentioned, of course, that you have a family that are all athletes, but at what point in your career did you realize that that was the niche you were supposed to be working with?
Good question. I realized it when our oldest son, who was at college on a full scholarship. Again, he was a 3 or 4 time national champ, 3 time state champ. He was that wrestler, and wrestling, as you know, is a really tough sport. Mm. He was that wrestler that it didn't matter who he was wrestling. Everyone knew that he was going to win, like his mental toughness. And I would ask him questions like, how do you know you're going to win? Like, how do you have such confidence? And I mean, I know part of it is the way I raised you, but I can't take all the credit. And your dad, you know, and he would say, you know, I have this switch. And when I step on the mat, I switch into like a superhuman apex. Well, I don't know what the heck that was. Must have been something he saw on TV. And I switch out of my humanity into just like this driven being that is going to do anything to win. And so I learned a lot from him. But when he was in college and he was wrestling for a wrestling team, he got himself into some trouble and was facing some charges. And it was a small little school, was brought into the school with the president and the dean. And they said, look, I think they were making an example of him because he was an athlete and he was caught with some marijuana. And they said, look, you sign out in 24 hours and we're going to seal your record and we won't charge you with this felony because you had this and that. And he had a food scale because he was a wrestler and he had to weigh his food for his weight. But they thought it was because of said it was because he was weighing it. And so anyways, we found out after he had signed out of school and moved down to Florida, which is like the other side of the nation. And he wrote a letter and said, I really messed up and I'm going to find myself and I'm going to make this right. And I love you guys. But I had to do, you know, I had to sign out. And at that time, it was one of those devastating moments in my life where I like, oh my gosh, like this, like he was planning to be in the Olympics and now he's not in college anymore. And that was his ticket. And how do we get him back in school? I mean, I was asking all these questions and yet we couldn't get a hold of him because he took a SIM card out of his phone. He's like, I'm just going to go find myself. He like moved down to Florida in a tent. And it was really devastating at the time. And I remember thinking, what the heck? You know, here I've now, like, I'm a sports hypnotist and my son's life is completely changed and everything, like his whole identity was like gone in a moment. And so I remember thinking, you know what? He had something that most athletes don't have. Even our other two sons who were wrestlers didn't have that mental toughness. Our youngest now is wrestling in college. So he's a good wrestler, but it's not that unbeatable, undeniable confidence. And I remember thinking at that moment, well, it wasn't that moment, but it's like maybe a month later, I remember thinking, I've seen it. I know how to teach it. Why am I not getting myself out there and stepping into what I can do to help as many athletes around the world get what he had? Because I know how to teach it. So what am I doing? And I think that was my shift. I was like, okay, it's time. Like, it's time to get out there and teach as many people as I can. And that's empowering hypnotists and hypnotherapists to do exactly what I do. I'm like an open book. I want to share 100% of what I do, because we can't help enough people. You know, it's part of that like shift of consciousness. It's like I want everyone to believe in themselves as much as he believed in himself. And if that starts with athletics, then that starts with athletics. So, yeah.
I had one of those moments there. You know, we have a question for me in your head and then it disappears. There it is. It's back again. If you could have the luxury then of going back in time, back to when you first started your career, back when you were doing hypnobirthing, what one piece of advice do you think you would offer that version of you starting out that you think would make the difference at that point?
That is an interesting question. I know, and I believe with all of my heart, that we are all on our own journeys. You know what I would have done is I would have not tried to do it on my own and been a solopreneur as long as I was. Because, you know, now I think, well, with Zoom, I know we have more connection, more community. Yet 15, 16 years ago, I was in this ocean by myself for a really long time. And I also believe that if we can find a mentor or even a accountability buddy or someone that's even just a little bit more than us, a little bit higher than us, has a few more resources, a few more contacts, a little bit more experience, whether it's a mentor or a coach, or now we have membership programs. That to me is the way to go. And why would you not invest in yourself and put your money into it so that you can learn what they know and get your business going so much quicker?
What about from the experience of being a hypnotist? At what point did you recognize that you had gone from being a good hypnotist to a great hypnotist? What was the experience that you noticed there?
I think, well, first of all, it's time, right? So the more experience we have, the more time we have, the more comfortable and confident we get with our clients. And the other piece, and this is the other piece of advice that I would give, is growth personally and self-development. When I started, I didn't believe in myself as much. I wasn't as good as. I know when I went through my leadership transformation course, one of the things that came up for me, and I find this very interesting, was, and my business coach would tell me this, Karen, you're always playing small. You play small. And when I really unpacked it, it was because I am short. I'm 5 foot. I can't tell when I'm sitting here, but I'm 5 foot. I'm like 110 pounds. I've always been small and cute and little. And my entire life, people had said, you're so cute. You're so cute. You're so little. And my limiting belief when I unpacked it was that someone that's cute and little can't be powerful and successful. Mm-hmm. And it's really about unpacking it, right? It's personal growth. It's personal development. Whether you can find a course on it or some mindset training, to me, that is key, because you won't be who you want to be until you push through what is holding you back. What are your rackets? What is that silly limiting belief that, and I do this with my clients, right? What is that silly limiting belief that you established so long ago that is not true, yet you're hanging on to it?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because my background is actually music industry. And when you talk about your height there, it immediately made me think of artists like Madonna, who is a very, I think she's only slightly above 5 foot as well. And yet when you think of powerful, strong personas in the music industry world, I don't think there's many that are, Madonna's definitely seen as being one of the most powerful and empowering women in that music scene. So it's an interesting limiting belief to have there, isn't it? Clearly one that she herself pushed through at quite a very early stage there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I would say, like, look deep inside you. What is it? You know, and I do this in my coaching courses. We spend an entire half day. What is it deep inside you that you're afraid of? What is it that you've decided that is your reality that is holding you back from stepping out and helping so many people that we can help? There's just not enough of us.
Mm. Yeah. If people wanted to reach out to you, I know you've mentioned your trainings there as well. I have no doubt that there are people listening to this who have been really inspired by what you're saying. If they wanted to reach out to you and explore how they could perhaps connect with you, what's the best way for them to be able to do that?
The easiest way would be to either go to my website or send me an email. And it's pretty simple. It's my name, just that it's on, I think it's on there, right? I don't know if it will be the podcast,
it is. And I can make sure we have URLs popping up on the bottom of the screen. It will appear now. There it is on the bottom of the screen.
And, I love it.
Everyone got that? You had time to write it down? Yep, good. It will disappear now. Right. Okay.
No. Perfect.
Like magic.
It's just simply my name, Karyn Bird, Caryn Bird, BIRD.com is my website. Or Karyn@KarynBird.com for my email. It's pretty simple. So, and I did want to mention, I actually have a course starting this Monday. I don't know when this is going out.
For those watching, we recorded this on January the 8th. It's going to be next Saturday. So if people can join in, are they able to join in during the week? Sure. Is that possible?
Sure. So yes, we can.
People will be watching this on the 15th of January, 2020.
Perfect. Okay. So I would say go to my website, there's some information on the course. If you are interested, go ahead and send me, I think it's a discovery and we'll hop on a call quick and we can get you in. The other thing that I do, and I started offering in 2022, the guests to be easier. I do offer a VIP coaching package. If you're not interested in working with athletes, I do a half day coaching and then coaching calls for 6 months. Mm. So there's another option there too.
Fantastic. Karyn, thank you so much for your time today and for joining me on the podcast. I have no doubt people listening to this have been sitting there picking up on quite a few nuggets of wisdom there that I hope they've taken away and been able to use. And I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us today.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
For everyone else, I hope you have a great week wherever you are. And we look forward to chatting to you again sometime soon. Until then, take care.
Bye, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you for watching the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. I'd like to invite you, if you're on Facebook, to come and find us on the Hypnotherapist Networking Group. Particularly if you're a student or even if you're a seasoned hypnotherapist, you'll find a whole lot of information there regarding continued professional development that will help to build your confidence and effectiveness as a hypnotist. Come and join us. I look forward to seeing you there.